This is the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, part of the VSporto Network, bringing you all Noles all the time.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting rolled banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast. I'm Jason Staples. We're continuing our conversation about National Signing Day and where the Florida State class stacks up. First couple podcasts on this, we're joined by Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com talking about potential impact players, players who can contribute maybe a little bit earlier, as early as next year perhaps. Then in the second episode, talk about potential difference makers, guys who basically... They fit in that mode where they're not necessarily going to be impact players, guys who contribute right away, but they're guys that you can win championships with, guys that you expect to develop in year two, year three, year four, into potential earlier round draft picks. And there are a lot of those in this class. We talked about Janarius Robinson, Keith Gavin, Cedric Wood, Carlos Becker, Shavar Manuel, Dontavious Jackson, Bavan Johnson, Jawan Williams, Josh Ball, Brian Burns, Josh Brown, Keon Joyner, all of those guys fall under what we classified as the potential difference maker category. And again, as a reminder, the impact players in this class that we put together, Levante Taylor, Malik Henry, Landon Dickerson, and Walvenski Aime. Now, we don't expect necessarily Dickerson to even play this year. He's probably going to redshirt, given what they've got in terms of depth, but he's the kind of guy that could come in and make an impact if it was needed. The other three, you know, Taylor, Henry, and Aime, we talk about, they could potentially contribute in this first year. And then among those potential difference makers, Josh Brown as an early enrollee, it could be interesting because of the situation at linebacker where things are a little thin. He could potentially contribute a little bit earlier, being an EE. But overall, that's how we divided it up. And then we talked a little bit about Mike Arnold as a potential outstanding starter. That's the other, you know, one of the other categories we had, and got into Amir Rasul. And then basically we ran out of time for the episode. So we're continuing that discussion here, moving into what is really you could talk about as the bottom of the class. But again, this is such a deep class that the rest of these guys are all guys that could potentially be quality starters. And that's really where we're starting. We're continuing in what I've classified as the potential outstanding starter category. And we're going to pick up with a couple of those guys that fit into that category. And the thing is, each of these guys could potentially become a difference maker as well. They're just not quite at the point where I list them as in that potential difference maker category. So just for the record, in past classes, guys that fit in this outstanding starter category coming in, guys that could become that, would be guys like, say, Marquez White, Roderick Hoskins, Arthur Williams. Those are guys that I would have in this outstanding starter category coming in. So we're going to go ahead and pick up with the discussion. We're going to go through the outstanding starter category, the starter category. This class doesn't have anybody that I've just put in the depth category, somebody that you really just hope doesn't really ever have to start. That depth category, empty, but then we'll get to the specialty guys and we'll close it, and then episode after this, we'll take another step back and we'll start to evaluate both the class and the Florida State roster and look at things a little bit as they're going now through fourth quarter drills and working into spring. Again, I'm joined by Wayne McGahee III from NoleDigest.com, Trey McGahee, and we're talking outstanding starters, potential outstanding starters in this Florida State recruiting class of 2016. And again, in this category, we've already talked about Mike Arnold and Amir Rasul in the prior episode. Then you got Kyle Myers. I'm way higher on Kyle Myers than a lot of people. I think he's very similar kind of prospect to Marquez White coming out, where maybe doesn't jump at you as much at camps, and you know isn't going to be getting a bunch of accolades coming out. but he's a 6 foot corner with really good fluidity, 38 inch vertical, really explosive kid, but does a lot of things and makes him look easy. And again, as a physical kid who plays with a chip on his shoulder, I like this kid. I think he could wind up being a starter at Florida State in spite of the fact that they're bringing in all of these other really good defensive backs. You saw him in camp.
I did, and I think he's very versatile. I think he could play, you know, corner or safety. I'm not as high on him as you are, but I still think he's a quality depth player. Like, if he ended up starting, we're not going to sit there and be like, oh, great, here we go.
Yeah,
they're going to pick on him.
He's a much better prospect than Nick Wasem was coming out, for example.
Yes.
He's not going to get picked on by anybody.
Yes. The type of mentality that people had when Tyler Hunter came into the game this year.
Not going to happen with him.
They're not going to happen with him. I'm not as high on him as, you know, a lot of people are, as you are definitely, but I don't think he's that type of prospect right now.
And the other thing about him that I like is, you know, he's 6 foot. He's about 170 pounds. He can gain a little bit of weight, but he's a guy that, again, he can play. I think he could play field corner, could play boundary. I think Becker is more likely to play the boundary. I think you and some others put Becker more as a safety. I think Becker in this defense really works, again, sort of similar to Jalen Ramsey. You want that kind of guy on the boundary if possible. And, you know, he could potentially outgrow the boundary. It's possible. And again, he would be a really good safety prospect. But Myers could play the boundary. He could play the field. I think he could also potentially play the star or play one of the safety positions. A really versatile kind of player that, you know, again, it, you know, Tyler Hunter this year was pushed into duty in some sense because of the injury to Trey Marshall. If Kyle Myers suddenly needs to come on the field because they need somebody to play the star position in place of some injury, this is a guy that's going to perform at a level where you can win with him. And I think he's got a higher ceiling than that. Then another guy on our outstanding starter potential list is Emmett Rice, who, you know, you could make a case that he could go higher. This is baby Telvin Smith.
He's got to add weight.
Yeah,
we'll see if he's a headhunter. He loves to hit. We'll see if he keeps his explosiveness because he does have to add weight. He's not going to make an impact. He might make an impact on special teams. I could see him doing that this year.
Yeah, I think he'll make a huge impact on special teams, just like Telvin Smith did as a freshman.
So, but as like in the linebacker rotation, he's going to need to add some weight. He's going to be a liability against the run.
Well, you remember, I mean, Telvin Smith, a lot of people remember Telvin Smith of 2013,
yeah.
Right? But Telvin Smith took 4 years to become Telvin Smith of 2013. I mean, that's
people forget that Vince Williams started ahead of him for 2 years.
Right, and because he should have. It's not because the coaches were stupid. And Emmett Rice is the same height and about 2 pounds different from Telvin Smith coming in. He's not going to be ready to play right away. Just not.
No.
But he'll be a really, really good weapon on special teams. He's going to be a terror out there because of the size and his willingness to be a headhunter. And he's a guy that 3 years from now could be one of the cornerstone players, you know, one of the guys that becomes a really good linebacker, inside linebacker with a little bit more weight, maybe a little bit undersized still, maybe like 220. Which is, I think, about what Telvin played at, like 215, about that size as an inside linebacker in a championship defense with that kind of speed and playmaking instincts. That's what you could get. But Rice is a guy that, you know, you're expecting special team stuff from for 2 or 3 years, and by the time he's a senior, maybe he becomes 2013 Telvin Smith. But I think that's what you're really looking at with him. Beyond that, the remaining guys. Gabe Neighbors, one of your favorites in this class, another underrated guy, really. H-back is really, I think, the way to think about him. He'll line up at fullback, line up at tight end, line up in the slot, in the bunch, line up at the H-back. Really versatile guy. Jimbo loves these guys. And he's a football player.
Yes.
Your thoughts on Neighbors?
I love the kid. I've got to see him a couple times. Going to the same recruiting campus where I first saw him last year this weekend. But he's from Lowndes. He's from the pipeline.
Yeah, that's a big deal, by the way. Getting kids from Lowndes, you want to keep that spigot open.
Yeah. and he's a good receiving fullback. He's basically what Florida State wants at the position. This is the first true fullback that Florida State has recruited since Jimbo Fisher took over. I mean, when you think about it, the last four fullbacks, you have Lonnie Pryor, who's converted running back. You have Chad Abram, converted safety / linebacker. And Freddie Stevenson is a converted linebacker.
Yeah.
This is the first true fullback they've recruited. And that to me says a lot about his ability. I love the kid. He's hard-nosed. He wanted to be a Seminole. So
you need guys like this on your team. You need guys like this who are glue, who are going to be really good at their role, and they understand their role. And this guy loves to block. You got to have those guys. He loves to knock heads with people. And here's the thing. Normally, when you think fullback, what size are you thinking? What would be a prototype?
Probably 6'1", 250.
Yeah, you know, that's your, you know, Daryl Johnston type guy, right? 6'1", 240 maybe, maybe 250 for some of the bigger guys. You know, you get big pad on there, let him go out and block. Neighbors actually gives you more versatility because he's 6'3". And that's really what's nice about Neighbors. Is he's not, yes, he's the first fullback they've recruited, but he's not just a fullback. He can line up at H-back. He can line up in line at tight end because of that extra height, that length. And he's already 243, 244. So you're looking at a guy that gives you a lot of versatility where, again, Jimbo loves the ability to put a guy on the field where defenses are assuming, oh, yeah, he's probably going to be in the backfield as a tight end, or I mean as a fullback. And then you line him up on the line of scrimmage, and it changes the front, and defenses have to scramble to get guys in the right spots. It's little things like that that don't take any extra thought for the offense. It's just teaching a kid a new place to stand, basically, new place to line up. But it can cause real problems for the defense. It complicates things much more for the defense than it does for the offense. And that kind of versatility matters. And then along with Gabe Neighbors, you have Nasir Upshur, who was one of the big recruiters of this class and is another guy you want on your team. Tough, hard-nosed kid. Again, a kid who loves to block. A nasty kid.
He loves to put a hat on a hat. He loves he loves driving people in the ground. He's not the biggest kid. He's only 6'2". But I think he's an underrated receiving tight end. I love his hands. And he's just the exact type of player that you want on your team. He wants to be at Florida State. He loves the game of football. You can tell, you know, he just loves the game of football. He's hard-nosed. As Tim Brewster likes to point out, he comes from the meanest place, you know, in the United States, the streets in North Philly. So he's a tough kid.
Yeah, and again, he's a kid that, you know, he's going to room with Levante Taylor. He's going to represent the university really well, and he's going to be a guy you're going to want to host kids on official visits. That's the other underrated thing about this class. This is a high character class. There are a lot of really good kids in this class, and a broad diversity of the kinds of kids that they've got, and that's going to do wonders for recruiting in the future, because these are guys that are going to be good official visit hosts for future recruits. You want guys like Levante Taylor and Landon Dickerson and Nasir Upshur and Carlos Becker and Andrew Baselli. And you want those guys and Malik Henry, who turned into a pretty dang good host as, you know, as an early enrollee. You want those guys to be the kind of representatives for your university on official visits, because that helps you in recruiting long term. So that pays forward. Plus, you know, those are not guys that you expect to get in trouble either. So, I mean, and Dontavious Jackson, I mean, I didn't even mention him. So, I mean, there's a lot of these guys. You go down the list, Josh Brown, Josh Ball, you know, these are guys you want to host. Keith Gavin, Janarius Robinson. My goodness, I almost forgot one of the most gregarious of them, you know, that you want to host these kids. These are guys that are going to be really good recruiters moving forward for the university.
You got, after that, I mean, the last one in the, you know,
non-specialty category is Baselli. An early enrollee, and he's got pretty good bloodlines.
Yeah, lineage.
Yeah. Hall of Fame father. And the thing is, again, he's the lowest rated of the offensive line recruits. Probably the lowest ceiling of these guys. But I don't think this is a guy, you know, this is not Austin Barron coming in. This is a guy who could be a starter. Now, he may not become a starter because they may, you know, just have that many more championship guys ahead of him. But he could be a starter. He's a really bright guy, you know, fits well at the center position. And he's already 300 pounds. A lot of the centers FSU's brought in have not had the kind of size this guy does right away. He's 6'4", 300. So, again, a guy that, you know, he may wind up not necessarily beating any of these guys out, but he's also a kid that you don't look past because of the lineage, first of all, because of how smart he is, and because he has physically a lot of the he's got the size that you would expect to get there, and he moves fairly well. So, again, an interior guy.
The thing about him is that I got to see him a couple times during camps, and he does a really good job of taking coaching and turning it into something. You watch him from the beginning of one camp to the end, and he is a completely different player. He takes coaching very well, and he immediately knows how to process it. So I'm anxious to see. I don't think he's definitely not a guy that's going to, you know, contribute for maybe the first three years he's at Florida State. But I'm anxious to see what the finished product is, because I know what Florida State has now. And 3 years down the road, I want to see how good he is, because every rep he takes, he gets better.
Yeah, and that's the sort of thing you've got to bring those guys in. And I'm not going to undersell this kid. I'm not going to write this kid off as though he's never going to start because of that. And because, again, he has the frame and moves well enough that, again, with a little bit of development, offensive line is one of those things where a guy that comes in is a little bit maybe under the radar winds up improving and becoming the best guy in the class. And this is a kid that I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but I also, you know, he has maybe the lowest ceiling of this group in terms of, you know, if Bavan Johnson maximizes his ability, wow. If Juwan Williams, Josh Ball maximize where they can go, wow. Same with Dickerson. You know, he probably doesn't have the same kind of ceiling as those guys, but I think he's got one of the lower floor or one of the higher floors because of his ability to take coaching and because of the frame and all those other things and how intelligent he is. So again, he's a guy that I think you can win with 3 years from now as a potential starter. And then you have the specialty guys. You're replacing one of the great kickers of NCAA history with his brother, Ricky Aguayo, most likely going to wind up the starting kicker after early enrolling. And then you have Logan Tyler, who has the tall order of replacing the great, the honorable Cason Beatty. Hail him. So, and Tyler's a heck of an athlete. That's the other thing is Tyler, yeah, the
Tyler's
interesting
quarterback,
yeah,
running back, wide receiver. He punted, he kicked, he played cornerback, he played safety, and he played baseball for his high school.
Yeah. And this is a guy, I mean, he rushed for 1,000 yards in high school, you know, had 1,000 yard rushing season. So
each of his last 2 years.
Yeah. So this is a guy that, you know, as a fake punter option, that's what you want, right? And also fake field goal. One of the things actually that was brought up to me by one of the Florida State support staff a while back was losing Cason Beatty, hail him, is not just a big deal because of losing how he punted this year.
He
was an excellent holder. He was a really good hold, and Florida State's had some, you know, their long snapping has not been the best. And you never would have known that because of how good a job Beatty did as a holder. He just, you know, this is where, again, having a guy like Tyler who can be who's been a quarterback, who's handled the football, who's caught a lot, that makes a difference as a holder. And the other thing is, again, as a fake field goal, you got a guy who can run, who's been a 1,000-yard rusher, who can throw the football, a lot of options that are available to you because of what he does as a versatile athlete. I also wouldn't be surprised if he winds up the kickoff specialist because he's got a stronger leg than Ricky Aguayo. So any other additional thoughts on that?
No, not really. I mean, this is overall, there's no weak points in this class. It's None. The best class that, in my opinion, that Jimbo Fisher's brought in.
Yeah, top to bottom it is.
Yes. I mean, the top to bottom, there's no weaknesses. There's no guys that you're saying, you know, why is this guy here?
Right. Yeah. I think last year's class had more sort of marquee names at the very top. Derwin James, Josh Sweat, Jacquez Patrick, DeAndre Francois, Tavarius McFadden. You'd even throw George Campbell in that group, even though I put Campbell more in the potential difference maker category because he was so raw. That's five or six guys there, and there's really four you'd put in that impact category here. But it's just a much deeper class with more guys that could become high level, you know, draft pick type players. I think it is the top to bottom, the best class Fisher's ever brought in. And combined with last year's class, you know, you're going to be putting Levante Taylor and, you know, these guys, Janarius Robinson and these guys out there on the same field with Derwin James and Josh Sweat. My goodness. In 2017, defense is going to be absolutely filthy.
Yep.
So any other thoughts before we wrap this from you, Trey McGahee from NoleDigest.com, yet again reminding you who else is joining us here.
Yeah, Keith Gavin's going to play offense.
And he's going to be pretty darn good at it.
That's correct.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us here today on the Unconquered podcast. We've got plenty more coverage to come, both on this podcast and also on Nole Digest. Definitely visit Nole Digest for a lot more signing day coverage. We're going to go through the various additions to this class, evaluate them a little bit, talk about who they compare to in terms of, you know, potential player comps and all that. Lots of stuff on Nole Digest, lots of stuff here coming on the podcast, talking about this recruiting class and also the Florida State roster moving forward as we get into the spring and what to expect there. So again, you can follow me on Twitter at Doc Staples. You can follow us on Facebook at the Unconquered Podcast. Rate us and, of course, give us 5-star reviews on iTunes. Helps us a bunch. Be sure to catch our next podcast, which is going to cover more National Signing Day stuff. Follow also Wayne McGahee at Wayne McGahee III on Twitter. And, of course, I'm Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast on Seminole Sports Radio, a vSporto channel. Thanks for listening. I made this.